Each week, here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. Now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounce.
Well, hello and beautiful Sunday morning to you. I'm Reverend Tommy Mounce. It is good to come in your homes today to tell you that God loves you. What greater story can I tell you than God loves you? God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would never perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that great news? That's the greatest news I have for you this morning. I am Reverend Tommy Mouse. It is good to come to your homes this morning to tell you that if God be for you, there is no power that will ever stand against you. So let's get right into our broadcast today, and let's do this song here for you, and I hope it kind of wakes you up and brings back a whole lot of memories.
Smooth, and the sailing seems so easy, but things haven't always been this way. For I've seen the billows roll, and it brings the storms to my soul, but Jesus always been my stay. I'm sailing away on the old ship of Zion, sailing to that homeland of the soul. Waiting just to welcome me yonder. I'm sailing to my heavenly home. I cannot complain, for my trip has been a good one, but I know I must be nearing the shore. I can almost see the lights from the mansion so bright, and Jesus is standing at the door. I'm sailing away on the old ship of Zion, sailing to that homeland of the soul. Friends and loved ones waiting just to welcome me yonder. I'm sailing to my heavenly home. Well, I'm sailing away on the old ship of Zion, sailing to that homeland of the soul. Friends and loved ones waiting just to welcome me yonder. I'm sailing to my heavenly home. Yes, I'm sailing to my heavenly.
Yes, sir, I am sailing to my heavenly home. Did you notice that? that we've got a one-way flight headed toward heaven, and we're going to be sailed away one day. The Bible said the trump will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive remain shall be caught up ever to be with the Lord in the air. And I'm so thankful for that great witness this morning. I'm not one bit discouraged. I'm encouraged. This is the first of the month, and we are headed toward another month. But God before us, there is no power that will ever stand against us. Well, I appreciate Louise Ellison telling me about Doris passing away. That was David and Anna Cole's daughter, and she was only 54 years old, had cancer, and that's a terrible way to go with cancer. But anyhow, a lot of people need our prayers today, and I'm praying for you. I hope that you're praying for me and Martha. I was over at the hospital today with Martha, and she's not doing any good, but you need to pray for her. I believe that God before, there's no power that will ever stand against her. So let's go right now and listen to this song here, and I hope you enjoy this one also. As we sat at the table, our family's heads were bowed very low. My thoughts returned to my childhood and the finest man I know. He doesn't speak good English. He's just a simple man. But when he's talking to the Lord, well, a little child can understand. I was young, restless, but the thought still comes to me. When I told my dad, I felt that I was old enough to leave. He sat there at the table for a spell, and a look came upon his face, and he never spoke another word. He said, let's have the table grace. He said, our gracious Heavenly Father, we're all gathered here today to give thee thanks for all the blessings, so humbly we will pray. My oldest son is leaving. I'm sure he knows what's best. But just in case, would you stand by him, Lord, and help him stand the test? Lord, he's often neglectful about church on a Sunday morning. If he gets with the wrong crowd, would you let him hold your arm? And if he flies too high, would you clip his wings? But don't let him fall too hard, Lord. I'm sure you can handle things. I've tried my best from day to day to teach him right from wrong. And he's grown to a fine young man. And he's always blessed our home. We pray thee, Lord, for guidance, that he won't build upon the sand. Or we won't worry half as much if we know that he's holding to your hand. And oh yes, Lord, it won't be long till I'll be coming home. Please don't make me wait too late or too long. We pray thee, Lord, for guidance. Please cleanse us from our sins so we can all be together in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. At the table, all was silent as tears run down my face. And from that day on, my life has been based upon my Father's table grace. Yes, sir, there's something beautiful about that song, Daddy's Table Grace. My father has been gone for many years, but he's not forgotten. A lot of our loved ones, I think about many of you who we have helped with the services, and a lot of our friends have passed on to the other side, but you know there will be a great gathering one day, and we'll meet them again, and the Bible said we'll be known as we are known. I don't know exactly how God intends that to happen, but anyhow, I'm trusting God for that final day. So my daddy will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I know who's going to turn the table grace then. God will do that. But anyhow, I'm going to be there. So you make plans right now to go with me. Will you do that? Well, let's go right now and listen to this song right here. And I hope you enjoy this one also. This one said, me, Pap, and Mother.
Standing on the banks of the river, looking out over life's troubles.
when I saw an old ship that was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? Its hull was bent and battered from the storms of life I could see. Waves were rough, but that old ship was steady. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? At the stern of the ship stands the captain. I can hear as he calls out my name. Get on board, it's the old ship of Zion, and it may never pass this way again. As I step on board, I'll be leaving all my sorrows and heartaches behind. I'll be safe with Jesus the captain, sailing out on the old ship of Zion, sailing out on the old ship of Zion.
Well, that's my first mistake this month. This is the beginning of a brand new month, and I'm entitled to make a mistake. So I've already made my mistake for this month, and let's hope I don't make any more of them. But I'm glad that we played that song, and I'm going to do this right now. And this one says, "Me, Pap, and Mother."
When I was just a little tyke, I was set at the table between my pap and my mother. Pap, well, he would feed me on one side, and on the other, my mother. Oh, we were old chums back then, Pap, me, and mother. On Sunday, we would take a walk through the woods and across the pastures. Pappy always carried his old cane, while Mother and I would pick at the daisies in the lane. Sometime my older sister was along, and other times it was just Pap, me, and Mother. Pap, it seemed, as we would walk along, he would have his head down. He was thinking and couldn't hear me or Mother. Well, the old cowbell would be clinging, and the long lines in his face seemed to tell that he was worried about one thing or another. We did not understand, me, sis, nor mother. I grew up and I went away. I left the old farm. Just thinking about that day still brings a choke to me. Now it would have been all right living with my older brother, but I just never could forget leaving the old farm, Pap, and my mother. I went back one day and I found Pap all pale and hollow. Saw right off he'd soon be going where none of us could follow. The long streaks of his face showed just how he loved each other, and we would have to talk real fast to hold back the tears, for his eyes were saying just how much he hated to leave me, sis, and mother. Well, Pap went on, but Mother's still living, but soon she will too, I reckon. She tells me sometime she just can't seem to see Pap as he's standing there with his hand beckoning. Life ain't long, and I'll go myself one day or another. But then we'll all be back together, me, Pap, and mother. Well, the pretty hill, the new roads to walk, and just to sit down at the river of life and never more to worry. We'll hear the great choirs of heaven singing, me, Pap, and mother. And Gab, well, we'll play, and Gabriel's trumpet will sound, the beautiful birds will sing to one another, and there we will never more part, no more.
Amen,
me, Pap, sis, and mother.
And they watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth, or come to me. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the crowd, or with the people, against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him from Judea. Father, your word for your people honor in Christ's name, we pray. Amen. I want to show you the picture here of a man with a withered hand. I put the dictionary out last night and I looked up the word withered. I mean, it's a very common terminology that the man had a withered hand. It's a congregation of people on a Sunday morning in a local synagogue or a local church. Jesus comes to the church and he recognizes one man with one knee. Now, he'd been there many times. I mean, I don't think this is his first Sunday morning of going to church. But when Jesus came and he saw this one man with a withered hand. Now, Luke tells the story so much different. Luke says it was his right hand. But Mark doesn't tell it like that. He just said, there was a man with a withered hand. And when Jesus saw the man with a withered hand, he says to the man, stretch forth your hand. Well, all of a sudden, the religious crowd that Sunday morning looked at him with amaze because they're wondering, now, what's this man going to do? What's this prophet about to do? Surely he's not going to heal on the Sabbath day. I mean, it's not lawful that we would do such a thing. This is the Lord's day, and it wouldn't be lawful to heal this man. So what is this radical getting ready to do? Well, there's a great story here. As you said here in the sanctuary, it's almost the same story. You see, Jesus comes to the sanctuary. Many people sit with withered hands, withered hearts, withered minds, withered souls. And Jesus recognized that one individual and that one person's need. Notice all the other crowd. They were there only to accuse him if he did any healing on the Sabbath day. But Jesus recognized a need in an individual's life. A man with a withered hand. And he says to the man, reach forward. It's a picture of salvation. Every one of us are a withered person. Our souls are withered. Our minds are withered. And Jesus comes to us in a fashion of faith and says to us, come to me. Or either stand up, stretch out your hand. I'm here for your healing. And the Bible said that the man stretched out his hand. It tells me that every one of us should do what Jesus tells us to do. And when we come with our hearts are yearning and longing for something to fill the gap. There's an emptiness in our spirit. There's an emptiness within our soul. Jesus is among the people. And he's calling to people, stretch forth your hand. Reach to me. Do what I tell you to do. It's a beautiful picture of obeying what Jesus asks us to do. The Bible said immediately the man stretched forth his hand. And the Bible said that Jesus healed him from his withered hand. Well, this morning I want us to look at something. Jesus came to church for one reason. He was there to meet the need of the people. This man had a need. He needed something, and only Jesus Christ could give it to him. The people couldn't give it to him. The church couldn't give it to him. But Jesus Christ is there for one purpose alone. And that was to meet the need of the man. But the man had to act by faith, in trusting and believing that God could meet the need of the person. And it's a beautiful picture of our salvation. We need to realize that God is here to meet the need of us, of our hearts and our lives. He is here to meet the very need of our soul. Only Jesus Christ can meet my need. Only Jesus Christ can heal me of my withered hand. Many people cannot reach to Christ, really, because their hands are withered. Their hearts are withered. Their souls are callous. And they're in the sanctuary, and they're withering away, but they cannot reach Christ. It's a beautiful picture of a sanctuary, and God in the sanctuary, and yet people are withered in spirit and cannot reach to Christ. If you can receive from Christ, you must confess. You must confess your need of Christ. Not your wants, not your desires, but your very need of Christ. We are living in a withered time. Churches are withering all around us. People are dying all around us. Churches are declining all around us. There's a great change going on in America, in the world today. Churches are changing. People are changing. People are sitting in the congregation. They're withering away. They're dying spiritually. And they're needing someone to come to them and say, stretch forth your hand. Everything that you touch that God has condemned will cause you to wither away. Did you not know that when Adam was told of God, don't touch it, Adam, don't eat it. Don't, it's a forbidden fruit. I don't know what the forbidden fruit was, but I would say a forbidden fruit was anything that God condemned. If God condemns it, I should not touch it. If God condemns it, I should not eat it. If God condemns it, I should not condone it. I want you to notice in the life of Adam, Adam, after he touched of the forbidden fruit, he began to wither in spirit. He began to wither in mind. He began to wither in body. He lost his family. He lost his wife. He lost his home. He lost everything simply because he disobeyed God. He began to wither away. We're living in a day and time today that is really changing. I'd like to say this morning, no, I said it on radio, and I'm going to say it in my pulpit. I am not one of those. I do not accept the changing way. I say that if God condemned homosexualism, then we cannot condone homosexualism. A lesbian pastor stands in the pulpit and says to her congregation that the church is in a changing mode. I got news for you, my friend. God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, people may change, but God will never change. What I'm saying to the Methodist Church and to the Baptist Church and to the Pentecostal Church and to every church member that I preach to, you touch a thing that God has condemned and you will wither away. You will die at the roots. Give God a hand for that. You cannot do it. I do not care. She says it's a changing world. And the church must change that we might meet the need of the world. But I got news for you, my friend. I've never had to undot one I. I've never had to uncross one T. If God said it, I believe it, and that's good enough for me. No wonder our churches are dying. No wonder our people are dying today. No wonder there are so many withered minds and withered hearts and withered spirits. It's because they have touched the thing that God said, don't touch. We're going to start taking God serious. God's a serious God. If God said it, we must believe it. If you are receiving from God, you must confess your need and confess your help. I need help. I don't know about you. I needed help. I needed help that only come from God. You see, there's a spiritual decline in the church today. We are living in the time of the withered church. The churches are withering and dying right under our feet. And we do not understand that the withering hand can be restored when we obey the Word of God. I want to challenge my churches. I've been challenged. Last week I left Bible study on Wednesday night. God challenged me to go to the book of Acts. He said, I want you to go to the book of Acts. I want you to read it, and I want you to reread it. And when you get it, I want you to reread it again. I don't know why that God is wanting me to concentrate upon the book of Acts. But I'm going to challenge my church. I'm challenging you, church. I want you to go to the book of Acts. And after you've read it, you go back and read it again. And after you've read it, you go back and read it again. You say, well, preacher, why do you want me to do that? I don't know. I told you that God is challenging me to do it. I don't know why God is wanting me to do it. I don't know why I'm telling you that God wants you to do it. But I believe that God is trying to say to us today that I don't want you to wither at the roots. I don't want you to die at the roots. If we don't get back to God's business and God's church and doing what the Holy Spirit is leading our church to do, we will die spiritually, and then we will be nothing but a dead church having a dead form without God.
Enslaved by the world and all my dreams, then the door of my prison was opened by Him. And now, praise the Lord, I am free. From the guilt that I carry, from the dead empty life, I am set free. For when I met Jesus, He made me complete. He forgot the foolish child I used to be. I'm free from the guilt of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of my past. I traded my shackles for the glorious life. I'm free, praise the Lord, I'm free at last. I traded my shackles for the glorious life.
Yes, sir, we can be free at last. I believe the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, Martha and I were singing that song. I was sitting here listening to it, and how beautiful that song was. Martha standing here singing with me, and she's been with me for 59 long years, and I miss her here at the house. I miss her when I do a broadcast. And I pray for Martha. I pray for all of my unseen audience. I pray for those right now. I feel very encouraged that someone is praying with me. And together we stand, divided, we'll fall. And Lord, we're standing together in this great ministry. And I feel like there's a lot of people listening that I don't even know. But Lord, I don't need to know them. Lord, without knowing you, they'll never make it to heaven. We've got to have our sins forgiven to make it to heaven. Well, neighbors, it's been good to be with you. This is the beginning of a brand new month. You pray for us. You help us financially if you can. But you pray for Martha and keep her in mind. She's got a birthday coming up the 10th of this month. We're going to have her a little party over there at the home on the 11th on a Sunday afternoon. We're going to have a home there at the home. So if you'd like to send her a card, I'll be more than glad to take that card over there and read it to her. Well, goodbye. Be good. May God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. Today's broadcast and or music tapes by Tommy and Martha are available by request. Simply include your request along with your offering when writing to Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.